If you take your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, got three different aspects that I'd like to draw out here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing here to a younger man in the faith, a younger man that he has mentored. And so as the Apostle Paul writes, of course there's a lot he has said already, both in the first letter of Timothy and now in this second letter. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, please notice verse 20, we'll begin. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver." So here is descriptive of a beautiful house, of a grand house. All right, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be an honorable servant of the Lord. He's saying, hey, listen, in a beautiful grand house, there are vessels, yes, that are ornate of gold or silver, but he says there's earthen vessels as well. There are things that are made of wood, but they equally can be exalting to the master of the house. And so he's encouraging Timothy that even though he may feel that he's not, you know, some glorious, ornate, you know, gold-overlaid instrument or vessel, he may feel just he's an earthen vessel, but God says that he can be honored and glorified even with the frailest of humanity, even with the frailest of vessels. God is not looking for professionals. He's not looking for, you know, people who just got everything together. They're nicely polished. And God isn't looking for that. I mean, he'll take them too, but that would be a stumbling block. Our personal achievements sometimes can be a hindrance to God really getting the glory in our life. And so humility is important in whether we're whoever we are. We must recognize that we can be an honorable vessel, all right, regardless of who we are, regardless of our economic status, regardless of a lot of factors. We can be a vessel unto honor. And so he challenges Timothy here, and I'll read verse 21 again. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified." That means set apart, sanctified, "and meet," or acceptable, "for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." All right? An honorable vessel, a sanctified vessel. This afternoon, any time you sit down for a meal, but this afternoon we're going to pull out some dishes and some bowls and have a little bit to eat here. But you know what? How uninviting it would be is if we pulled out unwashed, dirty bowls from last week. I mean, that would be like, it's not cleansed. It's not clean. Now, last week, I mean, it was clean. We ate off of it and we enjoyed it, whatever, you know, and it was food. But that, there's just, it violates, you know, in our life. Sometimes there's things we've done, there's places we've gone, and, you know, we thought it was all right, we thought it was great, but you know what? It soils us, and God wants us to be a vessel that is set apart from this world, set apart from the filth of this world, that is sanctified and prepared for use. We must be a prepared vessel. We can't just say, like the bowl, just say, well, this is who I am, you know? And this, no, we need to let God cleanse us. And so we go into three areas where the Apostle Paul goes here next, beginning in verse 22. First of all, he says, "Flee also youthful lusts. Flee youthful, or even in the broader sense, ungodly lusts or ungodly desires. And it says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So first of all, flee is our key word. Flee. There are some things we need to get away from. Some things we need to put out of our life. The word flee in the dictionary is defined as to run away from. Now, we're not talking about running away from responsibilities, or not everything should be fleed from, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about running away from, it says here, youthful lusts. So flee means to run away from or to escape, to quickly get away from. Flee. There are some things that we should flee from. The opposite sort of fleeing is flirting, right? Sometimes we say somebody is flirting with trouble, right? Because they're playing with something, and it's just a matter of time till it makes a big mess or it breaks or whatever. You know, they're flirting with trouble. And sometimes we flirt with sin. We flirt with sin. Now, here's what the word flirt means in the dictionary: to play with, to hang around. The idea of lustfully kind of hanging around. This was also there: to mess around, to behave lustfully without serious intent. To behave lustfully without serious intent. This is sort of that casually, you know, just kind of tantalizing our lusts a little, you know, just playing with it. Playing, maybe it's something on the internet. Maybe it's a magazine. Maybe it's something we like to listen to, and we just playing with something we know isn't right, something we shouldn't be playing with. And that's what he's getting at here. Timothy, you want to be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use? He says, you can't flirt with sin. You can't flirt with the lusts of the flesh. Youthful lusts, he describes here. Run from those lusts. So what does that mean? That means if it's a magazine or a book, maybe it's got no pictures in it, and it's just a book, but it's some kind of novel that is ungodly. God says, flee. What does that mean? Throw it in the garbage. Get rid of it. Chuck it. You know, detach yourself from it. That's what flee means. Get away. Flee. Maybe you're someplace with some, you're out one evening walking or whatever, doing something with some friends, neighbor kids or whatever. And things are getting where, you know, I don't think we should be doing this. I don't think we should be talking about this. Flee, the Bible says. Get away from there. You know, do what is necessary to take the right steps to prevent a catastrophe. Run for help. Flee that sin. Flee that dangerous, corruptive thing. Don't flirt with it. You see, sin always invites us to flirt. It says, oh, you can just hang around and get a little of the pleasure. Just get a little high. Oh, you don't have to go all the way. Just kind of play with it. And whether that's in a conversation, that things we shouldn't be talking about as friends, or you know, things we're watching or reading, or could be so many areas. Maybe it's on social media where we're totally consumed with popularity and trying to be accepted instead of recognizing that, hey, we are accepted with God. We are accepted in the Beloved. We don't have to try to be the coolest kid. We don't have to try to, you know, try to get our worth from what others say about us or what they post on our account or hey, listen, we are precious to the Lord. And by us grasping to try to find worth in what other people think of us, you know what? We're entering into what could be described as youthful lusts. The desire to be accepted. We all want to be accepted. I mean, nobody really wants to be ostracized. We want to be accepted, but that can be a youthful lust. The pursuit of popularity, the quest for acceptance, or it can be the desire to go our own way, a rebellion against authority. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have, what does it say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the rest of the verse says, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The iniquity. Iniquity. That's me going my own way. Notice back here, we're in 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 19. It says in verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now notice this last sentence. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from, what's that word? Iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is me wanting to go my own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That propensity of the human flesh to go our own way. We don't want to listen to our authority. We don't want to listen to our parents. We don't want to listen to our pastor or the policeman or, you know, the school supervisor, whatever. We don't want to listen. That comes natural for all of us. We all have that. And God says, flee. He says, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from your own way. And so depart from ungodly lusts or youthful lusts. This aspect of fleeing really could be also described as obedient resistance. Obedient resistance, right? I'm going to obey God, therefore I'm not going there. Therefore I'm not thinking that way. Therefore I'm getting out of here. I'm turning this off. I'm X-ing out this window. I'm turning the other way. I'm not going to go with those people because I know what they talk about. I know what they look at on their phones. I know what kind of, you know, whatever. Hey, God says, flee, don't flirt. Flee youthful lusts. And so we've talked about the quest for acceptance or peer pressure. We've talked about the desire to go our own way. Or there could be, even in this passage, it identifies a preoccupation with possessions. A preoccupation with possessions. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. Back up just a wee bit. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice verse 7. 1 Timothy 6. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. And so there are things that we need to flee. Flee ungodly lusts or youthful lusts. We need to have obedient resistance. Obedient resistance. God tells us to submit ourselves to him and to resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice also, secondly, that we need to follow. It's not enough to just run away from some things. It's not enough to just say, hey, I'm not going to read that. But what are you going to read? What are you going to read? What are you going to look at? What friends are you going to have? What direction are you going to go? And so God really calls us to be intentional about the direction of our life. Flee certain things. Obedient resistance. Hey, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. That's enough. I've had enough. I'm turning away from those lusts. I'm not going to flirt with them. And I'm going to follow. God calls us to follow here. Notice in verse 22, we're in 2 Timothy 2, and verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow. This is intentional direction. What is the direction of your life? Sometimes we just wander through life, you know, no real direction, no real commitment. But God wants us to be in hot pursuit of four things he mentions. Righteousness, first of all. Righteousness. Righteousness in the text here in verse 22, righteousness is that which is acceptable unto God. That which is acceptable unto God. God wants us to pursue that which pleases him. The goal of our life should be to do not what pleases me, but to what pleases him. Right? We want to be a vessel in the master's house, a vessel that is honorable, sanctified, and prepared for the master's use. We want to pursue the right things. And so righteousness, pursue that which is right, that which is pleasing to God, that which is acceptable unto the Lord. Ask yourself, is this pleasing to God? Is what I'm seeking after, is this what I'm reading, is this pleasing to God? Is this described as righteous? Secondly, the second word is faith. We are to follow righteousness. Then we are to follow faith. Timothy, Paul writes, follow faith. Follow a deeper relationship with God, a deeper dependence. Faith is dependence upon God. Faith is dependence upon the Lord himself, dependence upon what he said. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we're following faith, you know what that means? We're gonna spend time in God's word daily. If we're really following, if we're pursuing faith, we need to spend time with the faith generator. God's word produces faith. Being faithful in church and under the preaching of the word of God is very important. And so God says to follow faith, Timothy. Follow faith. There's things to flee from, and there's things to follow. Follow these godly virtues of righteousness, that which is right and acceptable to God. Faith, that is which is a deeper dependence upon the Lord and his word. And then thirdly, we are to follow charity. Charity is a big word for love. In our day, we throw around the word love fairly freely. But most of the time, actually, what we mean is lust. Many times when people say, I love that, they actually say, I'm lusting after that. Because a selfish kind of it pleases me love is could be categorized more accurately as lust. But the true love like God has to us is a love that cares more for them and their well-being than for me and my well-being. God loved us, and because of that, he gave himself for us to to rescue us, to help us, to draw us close to himself. And so that kind of love is sacrificial. It's not thinking of itself. It's selfless. It's kind. It's compassionate. And that's what God wants us to have. He says that we need to follow that kind of love. Follow charity. Notice the fourth thing. Follow peace, it says here. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do you see the companions we're to have? We're to make peace with those that follow the Lord out of a pure heart. Those that call on the Lord. Who should our friends be? Those who want to serve the Lord. Those who are seeking God also. You see, ungodly friends won't help me live godly. Ungodly friends, you know, going back to the simple illustration of the dishes, you could take clean dishes, throw them in the pile with the dirty dishes, and all of a sudden they're not clean. But you know what? You take clean dishes and you put them with other clean dishes and they stay clean. That's why God says, make peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's who we're supposed to make peace with. That's who we're supposed to be in unity with. Those who love God, those who are seeking God. But you know, a lot of times, things come in to hinder relationships in the body of Christ, right? And there's no unity. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God wants us to have a peaceful relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. So be careful of your companions. Build healthy relationships with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And lastly, not only are we to flee certain things, ungodly lusts, not only are we to follow intentionally certain things, but thirdly, we are to fight. Fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. What is this? What are we illustrating here? Is God telling us to, you know, to start picking fights, to strive? No. In fact, quite to the contrary. Notice what it says here in verse 23 and following. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You see, the work that God's called us to do as Christians is the work of a soldier, the work of a servant, to engage. You know what? If I'm living in this world and I'm not fleeing lusts, I'm not going to be a useful vessel. I'm not prepared for the master's use. So I need to flee youthful lusts. I need to follow certain things. I need to be allowing God to build godly virtues in my life. And then I need to get involved. Fight means to get involved. It really, we recognize that we're in a spiritual battle today. There's a spiritual battle. There's a battle against light and darkness. Whose side are you on? What? Well, we have to be intentional about standing for the Lord, about being involved in the work of God. Consider the illustration of a soldier. Are you going to not get involved in what God is doing? And I'm not talking about huge extravagant. I'm talking about daily living, of doing right in our home and being intentional about not only following Christ but standing, fighting, teaching the word of God. Notice what it says there. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. That's to quarrel. Don't quarrel and bicker. But it says, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You see, are you ready to teach? Are you advancing the word of God, advancing the kingdom of God? In meekness, it says in verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Are you helping advance the kingdom of God? You see, in a world where wickedness is so prevalent, God calls us to turn away, to flee from that wickedness, to follow what is right, and to engage in the battle for truth. Are you engaged? You know, in the Second World War, the country of Holland was right next to Germany. And Holland took the stance that they didn't want to get involved in the war. They didn't want to take sides. Even though they didn't like what Germany was doing, what Hitler was doing, they in their heart, they were against it, but they refused to take a stand. They wanted to just remain neutral. And it wasn't very long into the Second World War, but Holland was overtaken. And their people were abused. And wicked atrocities took place within their, on their ground. And, you know, they wanted to be neutral. They wanted to just wait out the war and hopefully make it through unscathed. But history tells us that that did not work. They should have taken sides. They should have taken a stand. Yes, there's a price to pay. I mean, taking a stand, we don't know how it would have gone, but it might not have been easy either. But you know what? In the Christian life, we can't just wait it out and say, well, heaven's coming, you know, I'm not going to take, you know, not going to get involved. No, God calls us to flee. He calls us to follow, and he calls us to fight. Are we engaged, whether it's in our personal life and our walk with God, whether it's in our home or in our church, in our community? Are we going to stand for what's right? Are we going to stand for the truth? That means in so many different ways that can be applied. And so, active resistance, intentional direction, and real engagement. Are you a servant of the Lord? Will you be a vessel unto honor? An honorable vessel for the Master, an honorable servant, an honorable warrior, soldier. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the challenge we've received from your word, and help us to flee from wicked lusts. Help us to follow that which is right and godly and holy. Help us to fight the good fight of faith and to help others to come into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for this, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.